What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Dress Down. Today, I have a very special guest with me. We have award-winning filmmaker, photographer, producer, director, and owner of a multimedia company, and the director of the animated film Isla Monstro with an upcoming release this summer.
Yes.
Stephen Shea.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I see you all the time at GalaxyCon.
It's true.
I'm very excited to talk about your life and your accomplishments.
Yes. We never get to hang out on the road.
Exactly. You
know? Other than airports.
It's always airports. I was going to say we always have the same flights home since we're going to and from LAX or Burbank.
Yep.
Always.
That always happens.
Well, welcome. You have many things that you're working on all the time.
I like to stay busy.
Yeah.
I try to.
And you just opened a multimedia workspace in LA as well.
We have a really cool building in Chatsworth. We've been there a little over a year and a half. And we partnered with a few other friends of ours that have a comic shop and a TCG shop and a video store and built out this big 7,200 square foot creative space that we have a stage in the back that we can do card tournaments or music video shoots. We have a green screen and roll up door and a stage and a podcast studio and all kinds of stuff. And so, yeah, it's been really awesome.
And it's, like you said, incredibly busy, but fruitful, but busy.
Yeah.
Well, I know you as the videographer of GalaxyCon.
Yes.
But if other people don't know anything about you, tell us about the rest of the stuff that you do.
Sure. I have a multimedia company called Abysmal Entertainment that we do film, television, commercials, music videos, industrials. We do photography. We do comic books. Slowly getting into gaming. And animation now. During the pandemic, we kind of pivoted to animation, and that's been a real, real amazing experience, and completely fall in love with that now. So,
you just another thing to add to the arsenal, right? That's how I felt about being like, well, I'm a cosplayer. I also Twitch stream, and I also do content creation. I also do photography, and now I also do voice acting and podcasting.
it's like a slashy. It's like no one's one thing, especially in LA. It's like you're always slash five different things,
right? And that's on ADHD, maybe.
That's probably
maybe. Well, yeah. So you are directing an animated film, Isla Monstro.
Yes.
Very exciting. You did a really cool activation at San Diego Comic-Con last year, and you're doing another one this year.
Yeah, because this year the movie will actually be out by then. Everything drops June 30th on VOD, and then we're doing Blu-ray, DVD, VHS, and then the soundtrack is on vinyl and cassette and streaming, Spotify and stuff. But this year we'll actually, we have a big booth, booth 2002 at Comic-Con. And then we're going to do a party, I think, Thursday night. And so we'll have a bunch of really cool exclusives that we'll be able to drop there. And I mean, it's been a long process. We kind of started, the movie kind of during the pandemic. It was originally a series. And during the pandemic, we pivoted to animation. I'd never done animation before. I'd done live action for 20 years. And then got bored during lockdown.
And just kind of decided to
learn animation through YouTube tutorials, and
that's incredible.
And then
YouTube University
totally helped out. You know, Adobe had a lot of really good software that was easy to use, and so we developed a few different series, and we took them out and shopped around. And a lot of the studios were like, "Oh, this is great, but you've never done animation before, so no." You know? But we had done features before, and so I was like, "Well, we had one that we had done a lot of work on, Isla Monstro," and so I was like, "Well, let's turn it into a feature because we can sell a feature." And we did. And now cut to 5 years later or whatever. Now it's actually all coming out. It took a couple of years to make it, but then took a couple of years to sell it because the industry is in kind of a weird place at the moment. But yeah, it's gonna be really cool.
Yeah. I'm so excited to see it. I feel like I've been seeing little bits and pieces for a really long time, and I'm stoked to see it come out. So, what was the main difference between shooting something in live action and doing something in animation?
It's funny because animation is a lot easier. To me, it was a lot easier.
Really?
Because when you're directing in live action, you have to worry about where the clouds are. You have to worry about if the makeup matches. You have to worry about wardrobe. And same thing for the talent. It's like, you know, you could come and do the entire movie in sweats in 4 hours as opposed to being on a location for 3 months.
That's so true.
I totally fell in love with voice directing because your sole focus is just the talent. You don't have to worry about all the other things like, oh, is the lighting right? Is this happening? Is, you know, what's going on? Are we under budget? Are we under this? But you don't have to worry about any of that kind of stuff. You're just focused on each and every single little syllable coming out of their mouths. And that was awesome. I totally fell in love with it.
What did you like about voice directing? Was it easier to just direct people based on how they sound and their emotions? Or did you find that it was like more fulfilling in other ways too?
It was definitely more... It was easier because you could see everything happening in real time. You could see the performances immediately.
Were they dubbing over?
No, there wasn't any dubbing. Oh, okay. They would do the performances and then we would animate to their voices.
Gotcha.
So we would edit all the scenes together. I think we had 42 voice actors in the movie and none of them recorded together. Everyone was completely separate. Some were in other states and other studios, and then a bunch we recorded here in LA. Mm-hmm. So it was neat to be able to get in there and just focus on one very specific thing. Mm-hmm. And that made it a lot easier for sure. Easy. Everything is hard, you know, in film. So it's like when you're on set, you're running around doing a million different things and worrying about tomorrow's schedule and worrying about, you know, weather rolling in and worrying about whatever. And so being able to sit in a nice air conditioned room with snacks and like your water and you're just hanging out. And it's very, I mean, a normal SAG session is 4 hours. And I think we only had two talent that went over 4 hours, that like one and two on the call sheet. So everybody could do the movie in one session, which was great. And it was awesome. And then we got to work with a lot of really badass voice talent.
Yeah. I was going to say your roster is stacked.
Yeah. It was kind of crazy because we started, originally this project was going to be like a fun weekend project with friends. It was like, oh, we'll just get all of our friends to do voices and this, that, and this. And then my manager knew, was good friends with Will Friedle, and he was like, oh, I was talking to Will and he wants to be in the movie. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, that's, you know, I'm a fan. Like, that's sick. Awesome. And so then he's like, well, he knows everybody. Who else do you want? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, and then and he's like, put a list together. And we did. And we just started reaching out. And sure enough, it's much easier to get voice actors, kind of find out casting wise, because the job is so much easier. You know, you show up at a studio for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. Don't have to put on makeup. Don't have to go to fittings. Don't have to worry about all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it is a lot easier to cast and get those bigger names in there, kind of find out. So that was awesome. And then we ended up recording for a little over a year, because we were running up against the SAG strike. And I was worried that the SAG strike was going to screw everything up. But then it didn't. We ended up not being struck against because we were low budget independent animation. And so that wasn't part of it.
That was fine. Yeah.
And then the very last voice actually that we cast and recorded was James Marsters. Oh, it was the very last one. Yeah. That we did during the strike.
Oh, wow.
Of course, then during the strike, people needed work.
Yeah, so that's true. That's true. So maybe it was pretty serendipitous, good timing for you. And Leanna's on there too, right?
Yeah, Leanna Vamp. She's awesome. Super awesome. Leanna. She plays a black tip shark mutant that runs a video store. And and I'd worked with her many times before. We actually flew her to Orlando for a music video shoot years ago when we were still in Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
And so I knew her back then. And that was like 11 years ago, I think.
Yeah, the industry is so small in a weird way.
Yeah.
I remember that we were both Florida transplants.
Yep.
Both Orlando to California.
Yep.
Do you miss anything about Florida?
It's funny. The one thing I miss is the clouds.
Really?
Like, we don't really get clouds here. Not very often.
True.
It's usually always just like blue sky. But every time I go back to Florida and like see a Florida sunset, that's like pretty much that. That's it.
Just
Universal
that.
Studios.
Universal Studios. Oh my God, it's so much better in Florida than it is here.
Yeah.
So
I mean, the theme parks are definitely much, 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 much bigger and better.
Yeah.
But no, I'd move again.
I would also move again. I would also move again. And I won't be moving back.
No.
As of right now.
I mean, we've been out here 11 years now. Mm-hmm. And we moved because the tax incentives, you know, we were doing nonstop film and television in Orlando back to back. I had an office on the back lot at Universal. Like, we were producing Disney Channel shows and stuff. And when the film incentives went away, like the last year I lived there, I don't think I did a single gig in state. Everything was out of state. It was just, there wasn't any work, you know? And it was so finally, like, my son was getting to be like to school age. And my wife was finally like, you know what? We just need to go. Like, it's time. Yeah. It's like, yeah. And it's been wonderful. We love it here.
I have some friends in Florida, voice acting friends, and they, one of them just moved to North Carolina or South Carolina, South Carolina, so that they could be close to Atlanta.
Oh, sure.
And also North Carolina, like right in the middle.
Yep.
And he's like, it's the best decision I've ever made. Because he had been wanting to get out of Florida for a long time.
Oh, sure.
And he's like, yeah, this is it. This is the right call.
Yeah. It's, you got to kind of go where the work is. And I mean, luckily here, I mean, it's Hollywood. Even if it's in fluctuation like everything is, it's still never going to go away. Mm-hmm. No one's going to throw their TVs out the window. That's what I keep saying.
Unless.
Yeah.
Well, so you have said before that the Scream franchise was a large inspiration for you. What was it about Scream that got your attention, and also was horror like a big genre for you getting started?
Yeah, I was a total 80s slasher kid. Mm-hmm. Like, that was when, like, I knew I had friends that watched Star Wars and I was watching Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, mm-hmm. I was not into sci-fi. I was into science fact, like more NASA type stuff. And mm-hmm. then horror was always the, I would always sneak over at my great grandma's house and like stay up late after she passed out to watch like Tales from the Crypt and stuff on her HBO and things. So yeah, I mean, I've always been obsessed with horror. And I mean, if in a perfect world, we could make cool horror movies till the end of time, right? But Scream was the first movie that I saw that kind of pulled back the curtain for me on filmmaking, to where it was like, oh, there's actually a lot more thought that goes into these things that I just kind of watch and laugh at and enjoy. Mm-hmm. And that really kind of made me want to go into filmmaking. And luckily, I found my passion young. So I started working in TV when I was 16. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the Florida Keys. So we were on an island. And so it's kind of like hard to find a lot of stuff. But Key West had a TV station and I did that. And then I ran a Blockbuster Video at the time. And
you ran a Blockbuster Video? That's such a sick thing to have so on your resume.
Super cool. I mean, the first movie I ever worked on was True Lies.
Oh,
When they landed the Harrier jets on the 7 Mile Bridge and everything. Uh-huh. Like, I was there that day. Like, it was kind of nuts. And so I was like, oh, wow, this is what every movie's going to be like, which is not the case.
How did you get started? Were you like interning at the TV station?
I did. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I was 16 and I got an internship there, and I got an internship with the Florida Film Commission. Mm-hmm. So I was building location portfolios where I'd go around and take photos of things and be like, come and film in Key West. Film in Key West. Mm-hmm. And then I did the video store because it was just movie related, and just kind of absorbed myself in anything I possibly could. And then went to college at UCF in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And Valencia.
We're rivals.
Oh, yeah.
Went to USF.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I mean, I dropped out of UCF anyway, so it's gonna but yeah, I mean, went up there because they just done the Blair Witch Project. And so like everyone was like, oh, UCF, film school, like that's where all the cool horror directors go. Uh-huh. And so that led me up there.
The directors came from UCF.
Yeah. That's UCF and Valencia.
Were there any other movies that had an impact on you and like shaped how you direct now?
I was definitely a very big Wes Craven fan. Sam Raimi movies, like Evil Dead 2 is one of my favorite movies ever. Mm-hmm. Now, like my favorite movie of all time is Lord of the Rings. Like the entire 14-hour
franchise.
Yeah, just one sitting of 14 hours extended cut
is
my ultimate theatrical experience.
Yes.
I think. Mm-hmm. No other way to do
with
it.
With like snack pairings.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. You got a bucket nearby.
Like fully immersed in. Yeah. Potatoes, uncooked, raw.
I mean, those were definitely very impactful. You know, I'm a big fan of escapism. Mm-hmm. So like fantasy movies, and I was never a fan of dramas or anything real. I don't watch the news. You know, I'm just kind of like, I like to escape reality as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Jurassic Park was very influential, like when that came out, and yeah, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. What was the first professional project you ever worked on?
The very first, so the first gig I got out of college was Nickelodeon Studios. I was camera assistant at Nickelodeon when they still had Nickelodeon in Orlando.
Yeah, I remember the building.
Yeah.
It used to be.
They did Slime Time Live and Games and Sports. And so I worked there.
Big orange building.
Yeah. Which is actually kind of funny because 10 years after that, I ended up getting hired to produce a Disney Channel sitcom. And we took over Soundstage 19 where Nickelodeon was. And all the everything was still up. Like all the paintings were still up and all the artwork was still up. And so it was actually really, really interesting to go back and like being working there later
on.
A
weird cannibalization.
Super weird.
Yeah.
But I mean, even then Nickelodeon was like, oh, it's cheaper for us to shoot in New York than it is to shoot in Orlando. So there's like, so they moved. But I mean, yeah, it was... That was the first big thing. And then, you know, worked on lots of different random projects. And, but I was always kind of, I always made my own projects. You know, it's much more about like creating things where it's like, if you couldn't go work on something else, then making things internal. And that's when I was in college, I didn't get into film school. I tried to get into film school and like all my friends got in and I got rejected.
Really?
Yeah. And so I left. So I left UCF and I took the rest of my college fund and I financed my first feature. And I got full international distribution with it when it was done. I went back in and I was like, oh, hey, I finished a movie. It's in Best Buy. You can go buy it now. And my friends were like, what?
That's that's that Florida grit that I know.
Right? Yeah. You got to get it done.
Yeah.
Figure out how to get it done.
That's so awesome. So what was that? What was that?
That movie was called The Night Owl. Mm-hmm. Not very good. I was
like, it's one of those, had like, international distribution. It
was much easier to get movies on shelves back then. Mm. Like much easier. I mean, well, now it's easy to get movies because you just put it on YouTube or whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, so it is easier to get eyes on things. Mm-hmm. But back then, before YouTube, it was just, you know, shelves. But physical media has gotten a lot smaller nowadays and tighter, but then more valuable. So a lot of people still collect things. I mean, we have a VHS video store in our building, and the VHS sells like gangbusters. I mean, people love coming in and seeing the VHS and buying VHS. And it's like,
yeah.
Are you actually watching this VHS? And some of them do. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, this is 480. Like, it's crazy to see somebody of that quality.
I still have a VHS player.
Nice.
I don't use it.
Oh, yeah.
But I own it.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Yep.
Who knows?
It's one day.
I might be a hoarder.
There you
That's
go.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I still have all my original game consoles.
Oh, nice.
You can't get rid of that stuff.
What was your first game console?
I'm pretty positive it was a Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
But my cousin had a Sega.
Oh.
And I would go to her house and I would play the Sega.
To age myself, my first console was a TRS-80.
Okay.
Computer that used cartridges and cassette tapes to play video games with a one joystick thing that you could play at home.
Mm-hmm.
And that was awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Do you like Ready Player One?
I do.
Like that's those are the vibes, right?
Yeah. Like I enjoyed the book. I think I liked the movie even more than the book.
Did you?
To be honest.
Interesting.
Yeah. I didn't like the second book as much.
I have the second book and I have never read it because I heard that from a lot of people.
It's very different.
Is it?
It's like, if you liked the first book, this is not the story for you.
Yeah, different.
It's like, this is not for the people that liked the first book.
Interesting. Okay.
But yeah, I loved that. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
I loved the book as well. And I was surprised how much I liked the movie also because it wasn't the same, but I felt like the spirit was really captured.
Totally, yeah.
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 Yeah. Glad that someone else feels that way too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What directors do you look up to now and what directors did you look up to before? And are they still the same?
Sure. Probably pretty similar. I was a really big Stanley Kubrick fan when I was younger because I kind of feel like when you're younger and you're learning like how to do these things, it's like, oh, I'm going to be an artist. I got to go to film festivals and win awards and do these things. Mm-hmm. So I need to like art house films and I need to like these beautiful movies. Whereas nowadays I like whatever I want. Like I'm like I love Michael Bay. I'm a big Michael Bay fan, which is all right, which is okay.
Which is
like,
okay.
It's okay. Like you're allowed to like things.
Damn it.
you're allowed to like what you like. And, yeah. Which actually I got to work with him for a project for NASA, which was crazy. Uh-huh. We helped produce this series for NASA Plus called Hollywood in Space. It hasn't, mm-hmm. I don't think it's come out yet, but we shot his whole interview at Kennedy Space Center, and he like landed his jet on the space shuttle landing site and like came out, and then we shot him in front of the Artemis rocket inside the VAB God. Building. And it was like the craziest day ever.
That is so crazy.
But he was very cool. Big Sam Raimi fan. I like him a lot. Peter Jackson, I like, which is great because Peter Jackson started doing weird indie horror movies, you know, mm-hmm. Bad Taste and Meet the Feebles, and then going up to making Lord of the Rings. Like, it's very inspiring. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, I think pretty much the similar directors. I mean, I'm not a big fan of like the mumblecore type movies or like the highbrow horror now, where it's like, oh, here's your Hereditary. I'm like, doesn't connect to me as much.
I feel so similarly about Hereditary, actually. But I know that that's in a lot of people's top five. So I feel like I'm walking on eggshells when I talk about my feelings about it.
I thought it was really funny. And they're like, it's not supposed to be funny. And I'm like, wait, what?
I remember like seeing it in the theater and laughing out loud with a ton of people.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't just me who thought it was funny. And it wasn't just you who thought it was funny. Other people think it's funny too. It was when she was scurrying across the ceiling.
Oh my gosh. I do remember that. I do. Well, even like when she sticks her head out the window of the car and you're just like,
huh? Yes. I was like, what?
Bonk. It's just such a funny moment. But you know, he does
Bonk.
I mean,
Bonk is crazy.
He does a lot in his movies that are like funny like that.
Yeah.
You know, Midsommar has some very silly moments. Mm-hmm. You know, especially the end. Did you see that one?
I haven't seen it, no.
There's some very like silly parts like that where it's like, wow, this is really silly, but it's mm-hmm. you know, it is disturbing for some people and mm-hmm. it's silly for others. But I mean mm-hmm. we're all kind of demented that way, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of horror movies that have humor in it, have you seen Weapons?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
We did. Yeah, I did like Weapons. And, you know, Zach Krieger that made that and made Barbarian.
Yeah.
I loved Barbarian.
I just watched Barbarian like 2 days ago.
Oh, did you know anything about it?
You know, I thought that it was spoiled for me, and it very much was not.
Good. We were lucky because we went to a screening of it. Like they had like a kind of a test, not a test screening, but like an early screening.
Yeah.
And no one knew what it was.
Yeah.
And then I watched it with like a room full of horror fans. And oh my gosh, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun to watch with a cool group of people.
I bet.
But he has a sketch comedy group called The Whitest Kids You Know.
I know.
And I was huge fan of that.
I was too. I watched them on YouTube.
Oh yeah.
Back in the day.
You know, funny thing, they came to UCF and they did a movie called Miss March. Mm-hmm. Where his girlfriend's the Playmate of the Year or whatever. And they did a tour. And mm-hmm. so Zach Krieger and the other guy came to UCF and did a screening of it. And we went and met. This is, I mean, 15 years ago or whatever. Uh-huh. And they were super cool because they were just like, we're trying to get people to watch our movie.
Yeah.
And now he's, you know, Oscar winning people and stuff. It's like, it's awesome.
Yeah, I loved what I just watched. So he's making the new Resident Evil.
Did you see the trailer they released? Yes,
and I loved it.
Yeah.
And I was just streaming on Sunday and I was talking about it. And some people liked it and some people were like, why is it not about the characters? And yeah it seemed like it's mixed. But I thought similarly to Ready Player One, I felt like it really captured the spirit.
Right. Well, in the Resident Evil movies are so like all over the place too that it's kind of like I don't really know what I'm looking for in my Resident Evil movie at this point, right?
Yeah,
it's like,
same.
If you make a decent movie, I'll be happy. Did you mm-hmm. see the last one?
Yes. No, I don't.
Like they made another one that was like people in a was it Welcome to Raccoon City? Is that
I did not.
There's
see
a
that.
Few of them now. Mm-hmm. Like there's other ones, and it's like, oh yeah, there's that one. And I mean, I like the Mia Jovovich original like crazy mm-hmm. series is fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that'll be cool. I'm excited to see what he does with that.
Yeah, me too. I saw the trailer and I was talking to some friends about Weapons mm-hmm. and I realized I'd never seen Barbarian. So I sat down and I watched Barbarian and it was crazy. Amanda had seen it and Amanda was watching it with me just for my reactions.
Right.
She was She was she would wait for certain parts and then she would turn around and I would know something was coming because she's like watching my face. It was so crazy. But I loved so many of the shots in Barbarian because they looked like video game shots. Like just of their arms, like very first person.
Sure. Style. All the tunnels and everything.
Yeah. And there was a scene where it was like almost a third person video game where he just followed the guy into the house and around. Yeah. And it was like, I don't know if it was one shot or not, but it was such a video game shot to me. It looked very like Skyrim or Grand Theft Auto where it's like following over the shoulder. You know what I mean? As I watched Barbarian, was thinking how great some of those would be in Resident Evil. I'm excited.
Yeah. No, it's going to be good. I mean, everything he's done is great. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what he does with it.
Me too. Me too. Very, very stoked. Would you say now that animation is your favorite type of thing to work on based on all of the other things that you've done because it's easier, you said? Or do you still have a love for other things? You do so many things.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say it's my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. It's just like another tool, you know, it's like another interesting element that we can do. I think at this point, it's kind of like you're always trying to get a project going. It's like whether it's an animated project or a live action project, like we're writing a script right now for a new movie. That's a horror hockey movie. That's like a haunted hockey arena movie. Uh-huh. And that one's going to be really cool. Mm-hmm. And so we've been working on that one, but that would be live action. Mm-hmm. But then we're also trying to make Isla Monstro an animated series. And so we have an agent repping that we'll take out after the movie comes out. Like we're going to try to launch the movie as big as possible and then take out the animated series and try to get that picked up. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you're always hustling, you know, trying to get a project, whether it's live action or animation, like either way. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been talking to some vertical companies now, like that's a whole big thing. Mm-hmm. Which it's like, hey, it's production, you know, pays the bills or whatnot. You know, it's all kind of similar.
Vertical is exploding. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who does, I don't know if he produces them or directs them, but I know he works on them a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I always stop and watch them when I see them on any social platform. I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen? I understand why people like soap so much now.
Sure.
It's just so silly and brain off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that numbing entertainment. Mm-hmm. And we have some guys that we know that watch it. And I'm like, really? Like, you're watching that stuff? And they're like, yeah, I watch it. I love that stuff.
Yeah. I feel as though I can truly turn my brain off.
Sure.
When I watch that stuff. And I like it a lot more than, like, reality shows.
Yeah.
Because it gives me the same energy. But reality shows kind of stress me out. Because people are, like, losing and...
Well, it's very forced reality. I mean, most of the time, it's, like, either you're fighting or you're starving to death in the jungle.
Yeah.
Or, like, like, it's always something. It's like, oh, I don't want to be in any of these situations.
No, I know. I don't like this. Yeah. I have a friend who always puts on Naked and Afraid when he's over our house. And I'm like, what do I do with this? It makes my skin crawl. Because what if the bugs are on them?
Well, one of our friends from Orlando that actually I worked with at Nickelodeon, he produces that show.
Really?
And he's done like all the last few seasons.
Really?
So every now and then when we hang out, I'll like ask him. He'll tell me all these stories of like what happens behind the scenes. And
crazy.
He's just kind of like, yeah, you're just watching two people starve to death for, you know, a month.
Amazing.
It's like, but yeah, that'd be a weird one to work on. I always ask him about the guy that has to blur everything out. It's like your whole job is just to blur everything.
It's just to blur people's. I know.
It's like you call your mom like, oh man, I made it. I'm in Hollywood. I'm blurring out these people's bits. Like this is the
tracking the dream. Everything. Yeah. That's so funny. I imagine because with cosplay, everything that I'm working on new becomes my new favorite thing. So I imagine any creativity is the same.
Well, and you get better too, right? Mm-hmm. So every movie that I'll make usually hopefully is better than the last movie, you know, or more advanced, or you get better gear, or you know, you have new cameras and technology gets easier. So now we're like going all in on this. We have all kinds of merchandise and like all the physical medias and all the t-shirts and the candles, and we just got like paddles, you know, for different pickleball. We have pickleball paddles in the shop and like all this, just all this stuff. Like, so it's very cool.
Good. That's awesome. I can't wait. I truly can't wait to see it. I feel like the buildup.
It's very, yeah,
been
I hope.
Crazy.
Well, it's funny. I hope people like it because no one's really watched it, but I mean, well, we like it. So hopefully, it's that, pretty crazy.
That to me isn't on the table.
Right. Yeah.
That's not even an option awesome. In the drop down menu. It's varying degrees of amazing
right.
to me.
100%.
So would you say that because horror is how you got brought up into the world of movie making and directing, that you would like to produce more of those in
yeah.
the future?
Oh yeah.
Do you have any plans to?
I mean, we definitely want to. A lot of times, especially like with the Hollywood stuff, you write, package, pitch, repeat, right? I have a manager who gets me meetings with studios, and so you write a new script, you make a whole deck out of it, you take it out, you shop it to a bunch of different studios, they mm-hmm. all say no, and then you come home and you stick it in a pile, right? Mm. So we have a pile of, I think, 16 scripts right now.
Oh, wow.
But then you're constantly writing new ones too. So this new one, this hockey movie is called Dead Ice. And that's when like a friend of ours manages a hockey rink in town and he's like, you should make a horror movie here. And we're like, yes, we should. Like, let's do that.
Listen, so. Hockey's booming right now. Heated rivalries.
Well, that's the thing. Exactly, right? Exactly. We're totally taking advantage of that.
To
that
hire
buzz.
Some beautiful ripped men
yes.
to kiss in yes. the horror hockey that's, movie.
We have these like sexy hockey zombies in it. That, like these like ghost zombies that are out. It's yeah. It's
that's incredible.
Be, it's
oh, it's so exciting. Do you have a project that you would say that you're the most proud of so far?
As far as being the most proud, the project that we did that did the best for us, I made a short film called 222 in Orlando. And it's like a horror short, but it exploded. It did really, really well. It got into all these film festivals. It played like the Cannes Film Festival. It played all the festivals here. One at the biggest horror film festival in Australia. And mm-hmm. I was getting calls from agents and calls from studio, like New Line
wow.
Cinema requested a meeting when I did that short.
Wow.
And like, I went there and I was like, wow, you guys made Lord of the Rings here. Like this, it was like kind of crazy that uh-huh. that did really, really well. But a lot of times when you make a short film, you hope that it does that. You hope it explodes and goes everywhere. But my problem was I was younger at the time and I wasn't prepared. So I made the movie and then I had all these meetings like, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, whatever, I want to work. I want to work. And it's like, that's the wrong answer. Like we need everything to be already set up for what exactly you want to do next. Do you have a script? Do you have a project? Do you have a this? Do you have a that?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I just made a really cool short that I tried to get some buzz with. And I did. And that really kind of blew me up quite a bit. So that was one that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it did really well, that short. And so, but now, I mean, I'm really proud of this Isla Monstro. I mean, this is definitely the biggest thing we've ever done and biggest cast and
yeah,
really putting a lot into it. And I animated the whole thing myself.
Really?
Yeah, I just took a year off and sat in my basement and I did mocap. So like it's 2D mocap. So I acted out every character and
no
like in front
way.
Of the camera.
Yeah. That's so sick.
It's pretty gnarly.
Oh my god, so this is like truly your like baby.
It
from
is
the ground up.
Like our whole crew is like 12 people. We had like 12 people that made the whole thing pretty much.
Wow.
And yeah, it's a very so I take full responsibility if there's anything
all right,
if
so
there's any negatives
terrible.
It's all my fault.
Everybody talk about the mocap animation, how everybody's limbs move.
Yes, exactly. Why does
really
everybody
break
move like
it
Stephen
down.
Shea? It's very strange.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Well, your booth at San Diego Comic-Con last year was already huge. It was like tiki themed. Mm-hmm. It was so cool and like it like really made an impact, I would say. Like it made you want to stop.
That's the hope.
In the hallway.
Yeah. Yeah, we built this big tiki bar. Mm-hmm. And then this year we'll actually have all the merch because we'll have the movie out. And so we'll have all the Blu-rays and vinyls and mm-hmm. the comic books. And we have a zine we made, which is really cool.
So
and,
sick.
And all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it'll be really big this year.
That's awesome. I can't wait. What exclusives are going to be at the con? Can you say?
I know right now we're planning on having a comic exclusive because the first issue is going to come out of the comic book. And we're going to have a Blu-ray exclusive for the con. That's the plan right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anything else will pop up between now and then. But we'll definitely plan on having those two things.
Yeah.
And yeah, and we'll be running around for sure. It'll be it's a crazy 5-day.
It really is.
It's like an Iron Man competition. You're just like trying to survive the, the week.
That is absolutely so true. Are you going to have any cosplays?
At the con?
Yeah,
you know, I don't. We've talked about that. Like, we were trying to figure out what characters we could have someone cosplay. Like, because half of our characters are mutants. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be, like, giant mutant things. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I would love to. Like, that's come up a couple times about having that. So, we're definitely very interested. If there's any cosplayers interested in going to Comic-Con and cosplayers hanging out.
Cosplayers interested in going to Comic-Con.
I know cosplayers don't like Comic-Con. but yeah, that's definitely on the agenda.
Well, I know where you could find some of those.
Yeah, so. For sure.
Probably in this building somewhere. So I want to talk about music videos.
Yeah.
How is the process? What is the process of making a music video?
Sure.
Bare bones.
There's a couple different ways. Like there's some, if you're doing it for a label, like a major label, that'll involve more of a pitch process that you're up against a few other different people. Like, this is really funny. A couple years ago, I was pitching for a Nickelback music video.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, I love
like,
Nickelback.
This is how bad it's gotten, everybody. I'm pitching for Nickelback videos.
I am a Nickelback apologist.
There you go.
I was just listening to Nickelback today.
That's awesome.
I love Nickelback.
But like for that, you'd build a big deck and you'd pitch it just like how you're pitching a movie. You'd have to kind of put everything together. This is how we're going to do it. This is the budget. This is how we're going to pull it off. For other bands, smaller bands, they might have a budget where like, we have this much money. What can we pull off for this much money? Mm-hmm. Or there's a lot of times where you'll just get the creative itch. And it's kind of like, hey, you guys want to get together and shoot a music video? Because I haven't shot anything in a while. Like, let's get together and just go shoot something in the woods or whatever.
Yeah.
And
uh-huh.
then it's like, you do all kinds of fun stuff. But I mean, I think I've directed over 40 music videos now.
Wow.
But and they're so much fun. It's so much easy.
Yeah.
The one we did with Lana Vamp was very cool. That was a really big one. That was for the Bloody Jug Band. Oh, yeah, it's called Beautiful Corpse. And we took over a whole funeral home. Wow. We shot at the biggest cemetery in Orlando. Like we had giant jib shots flying through the cemetery. And like we actually had the exact same camera setup that they had for Lord of the Rings.
Oh my gosh.
Because you could like get it then. And so it was beautiful. It was a beautiful video. That's on YouTube and whatnot. Or on our website and everything. That one was very cool. We did one where we took over Wikiwachi Springs.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-huh. We did a whole music video there and they let us like kind of have free reign of everything. And like we put GoPros on the water slides and like we did all kinds of really cool stuff there. That was a music video called Mermaid for the band The Dolly Rots. Mm-hmm. That was a very cool video. I've got to do tour videos before where like I'd go on tour. My favorite band of all time is The Misfits.
Okay.
And I got to go on tour with them twice.
So
and video
cool.
and photo, and that was like super awesome because our friends have a band called The Attack and they opened for them a couple times. Mm-hmm. And I went on tour with The Toasters, which is a ska band, and got to do like every city you'd stop and make like a little daily, you know, video content and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so those were really fun too. Mm-hmm. I really like touring. That was a lot of fun.
Was
being
it?
Being in a giant bus.
I was going like, to say, were you in the bus?
Yeah. Had like a little bunk and everything. Mm-hmm. You kind of like crawled into your bunk and they'd be driving all night. And it's like, it's a lot of fun, like summer camp.
Yeah. Did you ever have to drive?
No.
No?
No. I fall asleep at the wheel, so they can't. Yeah. I'm not a good. They let me like, I sat one time to keep the driver awake and I fell asleep like 5 minutes later. And they're like, you're not
you
allowed
got
to
out
do this
of
anymore.
It. That's so funny.
Yeah.
You know, Dan. Dan. Mm-hmm. Is on tour playing guitar for Scene Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And he drives the bus every now and then. But I can't, I don't want to be the driver of the bus.
Oh man, when we moved out here, I drove a 26-foot box truck from Orlando to here. And that was that was interesting.
Yeah.
Like full of like everything you own and you're like, okay, I can't wreck this or else I'll ruin my whole life.
Yeah.
We did run out of gas at one point because the gas thing was broken on the U-Haul and we ran out of gas down by Indio, like where Coachella is. We ran out of gas like in the middle of the desert there.
What did you do?
Called 911. Well, I found out my buddy drove out with me. I didn't realize like you can call 911 for anything, like any emergency. Uh-huh. And so he's like, well, call 911. And I'm like, well, I can't call 911. I didn't cut my arm off or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's for anything. Like you can call him and get him to send you gas. It's an emergency. And I was like, oh, and I did. And they were like, okay. And they did. Like they sent us gas. Like it was.
I didn't know that either. Yeah.
I mean, we're paying for it. It's tax dollars. So I guess it's kind
of like, I guess use it, they do, right?
Yeah, they're supposed to help.
Yeah. The only time that we've called 911 here is we smelled something crazy in the house. Oh. Like it smelled like gas almost.
Mm-hmm.
And Amanda woke me up freaking out and was like, I smell gas. Like it smells hot and it smells like gas. And it was because... it's really embarrassing now that I think about it, but she called 911. The fire department came. They went in our like air ducts and stuff, and they came back out and they were like, so simply your heater is on for the first time.
And you're like, I'm from Florida. What's a heater?
We don't use the heater. We didn't even know it was on automatic.
Oh my gosh.
And it just kicked on for the first time since we lived there.
It smelled weird.
And it smelled weird. And Amanda thought it was a gas leak.
I had that happen on a film set when I was in my mid-20s. And we lit a fire in a fireplace. Thinking you light a fire. It's a fireplace. I'd never lit a fire before, and all the smoke starts pouring into the house.
Oh, because you didn't open the thing. We didn't do the flue,
and like it was like a whole all the smoke alarms are going off.
Oh my god, that's crazy!
Everybody's freaking out, and it's like,
was that like the biggest fail that has ever happened on a set before?
Probably not. I'm sure we've had. We've had people get injured.
Oh no.
We blew up a car one time. That was very cool.
On purpose? On a set.
Yeah, on purpose.
Okay. Making sure.
Man, the biggest fails on set. We had somebody get injured one time. I mean, injuries are always like the, but it was like an accident. It wasn't, somebody tripped and fell and like busted their eye open on a set once. We were doing a shoot one time and like some drunk people showed up in Orlando and like were trying to mess with us. Like that was a weird thing. Mm. But,
seems like a very Orlando, Florida thing to happen.
We were doing a shoot in Hope Sound in Florida one time, and someone on Flocka wandered up. The bath salt drug?
Yeah.
And come to find out, like, she wanders up, and, like, in the middle of the night, it's, like, 2 in the morning, and we're shooting at this gas station, and she just wanders up out of the darkness, and is like, hey.
Oh, no! She's wiggling!
And she's, like, she, like, goes up against this tree, and she's, like, rubbing on the tree, and, like, and then we found out that there was, like, a halfway house just down the street that she had escaped. And like wandered out of it in the middle of the night. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Like a rehab house.
Yeah.
And she was just like all messed up. And like,
oh no.
We called some people. I'm sure she's fine now.
Yeah.
Full recovery.
Right. Yes. 100%. Very clean.
Florida.
Florida. Very Florida. That's such a Florida story.
I haven't seen any bath salts here anywhere. Like
I haven't seen any bath salts here.
You want some?
Yeah. You got you a dealer for the bath salts? What about dream projects? Is there anything that you want to make happen one day you've been thinking about?
I have two. Yes. Okay. Like I have one project that I wrote called Fiend Fatale. That's like a horror adventure project. Mm-hmm. And we did a bunch of stuff for that too. We did a whole proof of concept short. We built a big package. We did a comic book and I was really pushing that project for a while. It's like lots of interest and no bites. And so it's like, all right, back in the pile. That's one that I would really love to do one day. It's a very cool, very cool movie. Another one that's not horror, but I think would be a really awesome big Hollywood project is I really want to do a biopic on Mel Fisher.
Okay.
Do you know who Mel Fisher is?
No.
He is the guy that brought essentially brought scuba diving to the country and treasure hunting. He's the first treasure hunter in the United States.
Whoa.
There's a big Mel Fisher Museum in Key West.
Okay.
He discovered all these Spanish galleons with like millions of dollars of gold off the Florida shores. He got, you know, Treasure Coast is named after his discoveries.
Interesting.
And then he's also the first person to get into a tussle with the U.S. government over salvaging gold in the middle of the ocean, because there was never any rules for what happens if you find a giant boatload, you know, with billions of dollars of gold in the middle of the ocean. Like, who owns that? And so they had all these lawsuits in the 70s. Like, it's a really, really crazy story. And then he
did,
like,
he win? Don't spoil it.
I mean, some of them, but he spent his whole life trying to find this one treasure, the Atocha, which is a Spanish ship that went down that had all the king's gold in it. And he spent 35 years and then he found it.
No way.
And like during the adventure, like his son died during it, like all these horrible things happened, hurricanes, all these things. And then he eventually found it and found all the gold. Like, it's pretty crazy. They're still pulling it up today. They're still pulling it up.
No way.
It's a really crazy story that no one's ever made. And so that's that'd be like a dream project.
That's sick.
Yeah. That'd be very cool.
Oh, yeah. You have to do that.
So yeah, it's on the list.
have to do that. I want to see that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I meant to keep asking questions about music videos. I got sidetracked.
Sorry.
Do you have how about this? What do you think makes a good music video? What separates a good music video from a less than great music video?
I think story. Mm-hmm. I like music videos that have story to them. I mean, a lot of videos, I kind of feel like with bands too, you'll get different budget ranges, right? So they'll have a budget and they'll do a big video and then do a video where it's like, we're in front of a white screen playing the song, right? Mm-hmm. And you can kind of get both, because they can't afford to do, every video can't be a giant, massive, crazy Taylor Swift video.
Right.
Or like a Lady Gaga video or something. Mm-hmm. And so I really do love stories in videos that can kind of come across. We did a music video last year it's still in post right now, that we did all, the singer, we put her in body paint and turned her into different characters. And so we did 14 different like alien creature looks, and they're all completely different. And then we green screened everything. We're going to put her in different environments. And so it's like the whole video is just her performing and all. This is Gigi, a video we did for Gigi Edgley, from Farscape. And she, looks awesome. Pasher House did all the body paints, like one of the biggest body painters. And, it took us like 4 days to shoot it, like, because it would take like 4 hours a look, you know, to put on this full body paint. But they're incredible looking. Mm-hmm. I mean, she looks totally nuts. And so all these different looks. But then there's this story where it's like she's a shape-shifting alien that can travel, that's being hunted by all these bounty hunters across the galaxy. And so it's like, even though it's her performing in different looks, there's still a storyline that kind of goes along with it. And,
right.
It's a very cool, that'll be a very cool video that'll come out later this year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in music videos, there's fun. You know, there's so much fun. And they're easier to do. Like, there's no audio. You don't have to worry about recording sound nearly as much. And I love music. I mean, who doesn't? And it's kind of sad. I mean, I grew up watching MTV. I grew up, you know, like, I would wake up early and watch music videos before going to school. And, like, now you don't really have that anymore. I mean, you have Vivo, I guess, on YouTube. But it's not quite the same.
No.
I mean, music videos now are just kind of commercials.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like the idea. So it's kind of a bummer, because I feel like it's such a cool,
like an art form. Yeah.
Totally.
Absolutely. I feel like now people can add videos to Spotify, and that's usually where I see most
things. That's cool. Yeah.
But that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Unless you go seek it out.
Or like, I'll find a song sometimes and then I'll go look up the music video to see it, just because it's like, oh, I like this song. I want to see the visual representation of this.
Yeah.
As I was telling Dan, I was like, hey, let me know if you want to shoot any music videos, because, you know, let's do some boy hero videos.
Yeah. Did he say yes?
Yeah.
Good. I know he's working on something new right now too.
Awesome.
But yeah, he is supposed to come do the podcast as well.
Oh, sweet.
And he is funny, because he was like, well, I was thinking maybe we could do it in early June, because the project comes out in July, and I assume that you're a couple weeks ahead on episodes I was like, yeah, Dan, absolutely. Sure. Yeah, we totally are. We're so ahead on episodes. We're definitely not recording the week that we post them every week. That's definitely not what we're behind. Doing. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. What would you say? So moving on to animation, when you compare the timelines, let's say, between animation projects and live action, which one is longer?
Animation. Is probably it? Longer. Yeah.
Okay.
Because with live action, like whatever you get on the day is what you get. Mm-hmm. Whereas with animation, you can constantly tweak it kind of forever. Mm-hmm. So there's even like we did a whole cut of the movie and then watched the movie. And I was like, oh man, it'd be really funny if like this was in this shot. And then we went back and redrew some things and added stuff. Mm-hmm. And then every time you'd watch it, it'd be like, oh, here's another funny thing we could add here. And then you'd go back and you'd redraw it. As opposed to like in live action, you'd have to go do reshoots. You have to have the entire crew come back and the actors right. come back. And which, I mean, they do for big movies to fix things. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely with live action, you have to be ready on the day. You have to go in and get every single thing you need mm-hmm. or else you're not going to have it. Whereas right. animation, like even like we were talking about earlier, it's like, oh, there's a line flub. Hey, record this at home. And take 2 minutes to fix this line. Mm-hmm. And then it's, you know, as opposed to you having to get an entire crew and a studio and like everything else. And so,
yeah,
it is definitely, it takes longer because of that. Plus it's like, depending on how you do it, you have an artist design it and art, like our movie, everything is drawn by paid artists. So everyone drew everything. It's not AI generated. It's all actual artists drawing it. Mm-hmm. And so, like you would have concept art and then it'd be like, okay, what, here's five different versions of this character. And of course we had like 50 characters in the movie because mm-hmm. I'm a psychopath mm-hmm. and we wrote it way too big. And so then it was like, okay, we solidify this character and then we solidify the final design of it. And then you'd have to color that character. And then you'd have to color that character depending on what environment they're in. Like here's it colored for daytime. Here's it colored for nighttime. Mm-hmm. Here's it colored when it gets splattered with blood. Mm-hmm. Here's it colored like in all these different ways. And so you have to create all of that stuff too. Whereas like on a set, you would have 30 or 40 people all working simultaneously to where it's like, okay, we got our shots mm-hmm. and then we're done, you know, with those shots. Mm-hmm. So I do think it takes longer. I mean, a lot of animated projects, like even Guillermo del Toro did that Pinocchio movie mm-hmm. that came out last year. And we went to a screening of that and he's like, well, yeah, this took us 9 years to animate it. We started 9 years ago and I was like, oh my gosh, that is a long way. I felt bad taking like 3 years and it was like, oh, this was 9 years.
That's
like, oh my gosh.
Nuts.
And he had money.
Yeah. So it's
like, which makes it a lot easier.
I can't say his name.
Guillermo del Toro.
Del Toro. My tongue doesn't want to do it. Yeah, that's nuts. 9 years is crazy.
Yeah.
But I imagine having the creative freedom to go back and tweak things constantly.
Oh, yeah.
Does add a pressure to it. Well, it adds a freedom, but it also adds a pressure, sure. I imagine, because you have the freedom to do that. And so it has to be perfect. Do you have to pull yourself back sometimes?
Well, and it's I think they always say with movies, you never finish a movie, you abandon it. You know, uh-huh. it's like you just have to give up at some point. Like right. you could be messing with this forever. I have friends that they work on scripts that way where they're like, well, I've been working on this script for 15 years and it's not quite there yet. And I'm like, dude, it's never going to be there.
It's if you never going like, to be
just
there.
Give up. Like it's That's make true. A first draft like and then move on. Like it's mm-hmm. But I think with that, yeah, I mean, you, like even now I go back and watch it and I'm like, oh, we could have done this, you know, or here's one thing I could have done, but it's too late. Like I already sent the files in and the Blu-rays are already pressed and like, it's mm-hmm. like, can't really change it now. Well, then you see things
like a director's cut or something.
I mean, the movie is the director's cut because I edited it, but.
Right.
But like you see movies where they'll like George Lucas going back and changing Star Wars where he's like, well, oh. I want to change these things uh-huh. and make new special editions because I think this will be better this way. And then yeah. people are like, well, it's not better. Like not necessarily.
It's
like
it's some people like it. It's not what we know.
Yeah, it's yeah. just weird. So I don't know. It's you're always like I always say to make a good movie is a miracle. To make a great movie is impossible. Mm. You know, it's like, it's just so hard to make something that like everybody you know, loves. And and so when you make a movie that turns out decent, it's like, wow, this is crazy.
Oh, we did
it's
like, yeah, yay!
It happened. And you'll watch big movie. I mean, you'll watch $200 million movies and like, oh, this is crap.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh, like that was $200 million. And, you know, 2,000 people worked on that. And, you know, everybody put their blood, sweat, and tears into it. But your 2-hour experience wasn't up to snuff. And it's like,
yeah.
But somebody likes it.
Somebody likes it.
Somebody will like it.
That's true. Someone will always like it. What are your top 5 movies of all time?
Oh, man. So number one would be Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
The Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Scream. Mm-hmm. The first Scream is definitely in my top 5. Evil Dead 2 is in my top 5. Mm-hmm. Avengers Endgame.
So good.
Like, what a religious experience that was, like, in the theater.
So true.
Me and this very nice man next to me were sobbing our eyes out at the end of that movie. Just like, and not even like being sad, just being like, you could never, as a kid that read comic books and like loves comic books, you could never imagine that this would ever exist.
Yeah.
Like that, and exist well. Like, yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah.
That was a crazy experience.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
That's 4. Oh, God. I don't know.
Put you on the spot.
There's other movies. I do like movies.
Shrek, movies exist.
I don't know. Shrek 2.
Shrek 2
is up there. Shrek 2 is up there for
Shrek
sure.
Shrek 2 is great. Shrek 2 is so good. I love Shrek what 2. About your top horror movies of all time?
My favorite of all time is Scream, for sure. Mm-hmm. Evil Dead 2. Cabin in the Woods is really good, which is...
I haven't seen that. Amanda's been trying to get me to watch it for years.
Just watch it. Don't like know anything about it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Like it's a big movie. It's a very big movie. And it stars Chris Hemsworth.
Right, right.
And it's great.
I heard it's really good and I want to. I just forget.
It's really smart and it's really funny.
Yeah.
It was funny because we started showing like horror movies to my son who's now 15 and not into horror movies at all.
Really?
But we're like, well, you know, you got to watch, like we showed him The Thing. We just showed him Alien and Aliens.
Yeah.
Back to back. We showed him Killer Clowns from Outer Space. We just watched The Blob, the 80s Blob. That one's really good.
Mm-hmm. And he's like,
He's like, or yeah, is he into it? This is good. It's good. Yeah, it's good. He's a coder. Like he likes to code. He codes video games.
Oh,
that's like
cool.
What he's all about. And so, he's like, movies, they're okay.
It's, like, it's not my medium.
Other horror movies, though. I mean, yeah, there's so many.
There are so many. I was wondering if you had any standouts, because I know Cabin in the Woods is really good. I haven't seen that, but I was going to add some to my list.
Oh, I literally have like a wall of like a few hundred Blu-rays at home that I'm like going through it, like being like, okay, which... What's on the wall? What about you? Do you have a favorite horror movie?
Do I have a favorite horror movie?
Do you like horror movies?
I like thrillers, I would like to say. I enjoy horror movies if it's like a group experience. I'm a baby. So like I love like action horror video games.
Oh, okay.
But only streaming them. So it's like a group thing.
Sure.
Because I will like scream and cry. And have nightmares.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about horror movies too. For some reason, I just couldn't get behind Hereditary. And that's like a very strong, that's like the strongest horror feeling that I have.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I mean,
Creatures from the Black Lagoon is my favorite monster.
Oh, yeah.
Is the creature.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I was an island kid. You know, it's like growing up on the ocean and like swimming in the ocean almost every day. And I always liked the creature.
Yeah. I
always resonated.
I feel like I have an answer to this and I can't think of it right now. But you know what else really freaked me out? My very intense horror movie feelings are all negative.
Oh yeah.
For some reason that are coming to mind. But I swear I do like horror movies.
Are you scared of something?
Yeah, Gremlins.
Oh. The Gremlins
terrified.
Movie or like the idea of a gremlin?
Both.
Okay.
All of the above. Gremlins are terrifying
like
to me.
Like on the plane? Like are you nervous on like if you're by the wing of a plane?
Anything. any Gremlin anywhere, which Gremlins has such a huge fan base that any time I go to any horror convention or anything, there's like Gremlins everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, no, get these little shits away from me before they bite me.
Did you ever see Ghoulies?
No.
Do you know about Ghoulies?
Uh-uh.
So the Ghoulies messed up a lot of kids because when it came out, the poster was, it was a Gremlins ripoff. Oh. And it was a little creature coming out of a toilet. And so like, and then the second one was more people, more things coming out of the toilet. And so it's like, it freaked everybody out because it came out of the toilet and like...
Oh, that's so scary. No,
I was always,
not the children.
Oh my gosh.
That's so funny.
I was always scared of, and still am, is aliens. Like, like gray-eyed, gray aliens.
You know?
Outer space aliens.
Yeah.
Like, I can't handle that.
Like the
that.
Big head.
Yeah.
Yeah. My brother's the same way, actually.
It's like...
That's common, I think.
There's a couple movies, like Communion.
Yeah.
There's this movie from the 80s and Fire in the Sky, mm-hmm. like that are both authentic abduction stories. Mm-hmm. And like those movies, I can't even look at the cover art for Communion. Like it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah.
It really is. It's... Yeah. Yes. It's like they could... They're there. They're probably there.
Well, they're... Yeah. I mean, it's yeah. I mean,
they are there.
They're out there.
They're out there.
Area 51. Did you go assault Area 51 when everybody was going out there?
Unfortunately, no.
Did you Naruto run toward the...
No, but I joined so many of those Facebook groups as a bit, and then all of them started to like expire, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh no, what have I done?
One of my friends went out and I was like, I can't believe you didn't tell me.
They
like
did.
I would have totally gone to that thing. It would have been so funny.
Did he Naruto run?
He didn't.
Oh.
He was... They had guns. He was nervous. Like I think they were all like...
They were out there with guns?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a military base. You can't Naruto. I mean, I know the whole idea was they can't catch them all, but I mean...
But they can.
They would have.
They will and they can.
Yes.
That's so funny. I feel like my... Okay, this is going to be very specific lore.
Mm-hmm.
What was the movie with the woman in the jumpsuit with the white tank top who got in trouble because she wouldn't shave and they had to AI out her hair? Do you know what I'm talking about? Is it Alien?
Is it Alien 3? Where she had to
had
shave her
like,
head?
Like long curly hair.
Yeah. I mean, that's Alien. Like
that's
her
Alien?
In the jumpsuit with the white tank top. Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
Yeah. That one's
go
good.
With that.
That's a good one.
That's my tentative answer.
Sure.
And I'll update it I think of a better one.
We literally just watched it last week.
Oh, yeah?
Because we showed my son it for the first time. And it's really, it's neat. Like, it's neat to go back and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, and we watched the second one, too, which is much more of an action movie. It's James Cameron. It's just like Avatar. It's actually weird. There's a lot of the exact same shots from Avatar in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Huh.
But that first one's pretty, it's such a classic, but man, there's some parts where like the alien like scares you and it's like, bah! And you're like, what is it doing? Why is it like, it's just reaching out?
Actually, I'd like to change my answer. My favorite horror movie is the original Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, yikes. Yikes. That was pretty horrible.
It's really bad, but it's so funny. No, my actual answer is Sinners.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with Sinners. Is that a horror movie?
Sure.
Maybe?
Yeah. I mean, it was great.
Scary.
Yeah. I mean, I would call it a horror movie.
Okay.
There's blood and there's vampires and there's, yeah. Have you ever seen From Dusk Till Dawn that everyone talks about?
Mm-hmm.
Is somewhat, it's not that it's similar, but it's kind of similar.
Mm-hmm.
It's George Clooney back when he did horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what his very first movie was? Return of the Killer Tomatoes. Which he is fantastic in.
Really?
George Clooney. Yeah.
No
fantastic.
Way. That's awesome.
Yeah. They have a new one coming. They have the fifth one's coming out. We just went to the premiere of it. It was very cool.
No
It's
way.
A new Killer Tomatoes movie. Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah.
George Clooney. Not in the fifth one? That's wild.
I know. I was like, how'd you not get him back? Like, what is he doing?
Right.
Was he busy?
Well, we're going to transition to the Patreon portion, but thank
Sweet.
You, Stephen, so much
yeah,
for joining
for sure.
us today. It was very fun to talk about movies. Let everybody know where to find you online and what you have coming up.
Yeah. Coming up is definitely Isla Monstro, drops everywhere June 30th on VOD, Blu-ray, DVD, VHS, which you can pre-order all those. The Blu-ray and VHS, or the Blu-ray and DVD are already pre-orderable online on Walmart, Amazon, like all those places. And then the vinyl soundtrack and the cassette soundtrack will be coming out too. That's online at Isla Monstro across everything, all the different platforms. And then my company's name is Abysmal Entertainment. And so we're on everything as well under Abysmal Entertainment. So yeah, Ooh. Look us up. Two S's, A-B-Y-S-S-M-A-L, D&D reference. We've had for, this is our 24th year, I think.
Really?
This year. Yeah. 24 years in business.
I'm trying to go back and watch that 222 oh, yeah. horror short.
I'll send you a link. It's on our webpage.
Blew up.
Abysmal.com.
Yay. So I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. You said you were a fan of Michael Bay. How do you feel about him directing the Skibidi Toilet movie?